fourth chapter of John. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well. And it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away from the city unto the city to buy meat. Then saith a woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, Go, call thy husband, and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidst thou truly. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples, and marveled that he talked with a woman. Yet no man said, What seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot, and went her way into the city, and saith to the men, Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. In the meanwhile his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him off to eat? Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye, There are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, Lift up your eyes, and look on the fields, for they are white, all ready to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, One soweth, and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, "He told me all that ever I did." So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed, because of his own word, and said unto the woman, "Now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world." That was a lot of reading, but it was worthwhile, wasn't it? Wonderful. Amazing grace. And when you think of the subject that is before us tonight, the dear woman of Samaria, and how the grace of our Lord Jesus met her and satisfied her, that is amazing grace. I think you did right in asking us to sing that wonderful hymn. Thank God for his grace. You know, the Lord Jesus is supreme in all things. And in the winning of precious soul, he surpasses all. There was no one like him to win precious souls to himself. The proverb says, "He that winneth souls is wise." And he was the personification of wisdom. And you may depend upon it that there never was a word out of place. It was always the right word on the right occasion. And so contrary to our thoughts. Because, friends, if you and I had the writing of the Gospel of John, I'm sure that had we had dealings with Nicodemus, why, we would have talked to him about who are the true worshippers. He was a very religious man. And perhaps he needed to be put right in regard to worship. But had we had dealings with a woman of Samaria, we certainly would have told her, "You must be born again." But it's right contrary to what we think. The Lord Jesus was very wise in his approach to men and women. He did not blurt out and cut off their ears. He sought to attract them to himself and to gain their confidence. And I think that is what we see, first of all, in this wonderful, wonderful incident. You know, there's no stereotype way of dealing with precious souls. Sometimes harm has been done because there's a certain plan of salvation that is offered to everybody alike. But souls are so different. And their experiences are so different. There are some who are hardened in their sins. And they perhaps need to be awakened. There are others who think there is no hope for them. And they need an encouraging word that will lead them to trust the Lord Jesus. And so God doesn't turn out precious souls saved as Ford turns out his car is standardized. Everyone is so different. And so our Lord Jesus gives the example here of how he dealt with this dear woman and how he dealt with religious Nicodemus. Now, we first of all would like to consider why the Lord Jesus left Judea. There were two reasons. The antagonism of the Jews was such, dear friends, because he was baptizing more than John, though he himself did not baptize. And so he left Jerusalem to go up into Galilee. But there was another reason. He could have gone to Galilee in the ordinary way, by going across the Jordan and on the eastern side of the Jordan and gone up to Galilee. But instead of that, we read he must needs go through Samaria. Did he not know of this dear woman who needed him? He certainly did. And you know, dear friends, I believe the Lord has his eye upon everyone he saves. He has his eye upon them beforehand. And thank God he brings around the circumstances that bring them together. And so our Lord Jesus must needs go through Samaria, walking those miles that he did. We read that he was wearied with his journey. I think that's lovely to think of our Lord Jesus sitting thus upon the well, wearied with his journey. He was a real man. He was the Son of God. And so the one that was wearied with his journey was the one who had within him the resources to meet the need of that dear sinful woman. If he was thirsty, he was the one that could satisfy the need of a thirsty soul. And so the Lord Jesus is both God and man in the one person. We thank God for him, Emmanuel, God with us. And so he was there at the well at the appointed time. He not only knew of that dear woman and her tremendous need, he knew the very time that he would be there. And he made another arrangement. He saw to it that the disciples had gone into the city to buy meat. Why? I believe he wanted to be there alone to meet that dear woman. His exposing her sin was not to make a public display of her, but thank God it was that her soul's need might be met. And so he has her privately in his presence. And she must have individual dealing with him without anybody there to interfere with that wonderful, wonderful intercourse that was going on. My dear friends, I want to say tonight that if you are in this meeting a poor sinner and you are unsatisfied, and you have a longing to be saved, you will be met by the Lord Jesus individually. He saves everyone individually. And so like the woman of Samaria, thank God you can have a meeting with him tonight and he'll satisfy your longing soul. Now, I would like to speak of the words of our Lord Jesus Christ in these ways. First of all, it was a word that aroused her interest and gained her confidence. Now just imagine that woman of Samaria coming up to the well. And who does she see sitting on the well but a Jew? To her, he was an ordinary Jew. And so how she came and saw this Jew sitting on that well, you can imagine how there was a resentment in her heart. What's she doing there? How does the Lord Jesus meet that situation? He says to her very, very gently and very kindly, "Give me to drink." Why, dear friends, that was something unknown for a Jew to ask a Samaritan. They would not even condescend to ask a favor of a Samaritan. And so the Lord Jesus says, "Give me to drink." Ah, that aroused her curiosity. And that aroused her interest. And thank God, won her confidence. "How is it," said she, "that thou being a Jew askest drink of me, which am a Samaritan woman?" For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. That was the first thing. His word to her aroused her interest and gained her confidence. Wouldn't that be a wonderful lesson for us to learn, dear friends, as we deal with precious souls? Isn't that the first thing we should seek for, to gain the confidence of those we want to speak with? Oh, dear friends, how often do we say, blurt out something that would just close your ears, and the opportunity is missed, perhaps forever. So that was the first word the Lord Jesus gave, was a word to arouse our interest and gain our confidence. And then the second word was that which revealed a spiritual darkness. Now, when she said, or rather when the Lord Jesus said to her, in answer to what she said, how is it that thou being a Jew, askest drink of me which am a Samaritan, or a woman of Samaria, for the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said to her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that hath to be given me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Oh, she didn't understand that. She says, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with. The well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Are you greater than Jacob, our father, that gave us the well? Then the Lord Jesus said, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And what was her response to that? Oh, she said, give me this water. It'll save me from hard work. I won't need to come to this well to draw water if I can get this living water that you were talking about. Dark, dark, dark. She did not understand it to mean that it was something to meet her spiritual need. That's how dark she was. And so the word that the Lord Jesus said really revealed her awful darkness to her. I think that wonderful symbol that the Lord Jesus uses for salvation is a wonderful symbol. We might think a few things about the water. It's very, very appropriate. Draw with joy, said the prophet, you remember. Shall he draw well water out of the well of salvation? And so first of all, when you think of water, water is a gift from God. It's something which man is unable to create. And for water, we are dependent upon God. Isn't that true with regard to salvation, dear friends? Salvation is God's gift to mankind. And you and I can never, never do a thing in regard to salvation. Salvation is of God. It must come from Him. And you can't do anything to save yourself, dear friend. And so just as water is a gift from God to us, so is salvation. And then water is indispensable to man. It's a vital necessity. Man cannot live without water. And so with salvation. Without it, man is utterly lost and will perish eternally. And so, friend, you need this salvation for your soul. Just as your body needs water. And then it's an universal provision, water. Wherever you go, you find water somewhere. Without it, men would die. And if there is no water anywhere, they must move away to somewhere where there is water. It's an universal need. It's a universal provision. So it is with God's salvation. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And then water comes down from the heavens. It's not a product of earth. And so if water is found on earth, it is because, first of all, it came down from above. And so salvation is from above. And then, friends, I would remind you that the water of life must be taken here upon earth if it's to be enjoyed in eternity. Luke 16 gives us an awful picture of a man that neglected the water of life here. And his prayer in eternity was that Lazarus might come and dip his finger in water to cool his parched tongue. And so, friend, if you neglect this water of life, this salvation from God, how dreadful to think that for all eternity you will indeed be praying for a drop of water that will never, 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 never be granted to you. I don't think of anything, dear friends, more awful than to be a thirsty soul for all eternity and that thirst never, never satisfied. That is one picture we have of the eternal punishment of the wicked in hell. But as I said, the spiritual darkness of this woman was revealed by the words that the Lord Jesus spoke to her. I read this little sentence by Mr. Darby. He said that intelligence in divine things comes by the conscience and not by the intellect. I think that's a marvelous saying. Let me repeat it. He says, intelligence in divine things comes by the conscience, not by the intellect. When you and I move in and out among people and we meet some very intelligent people sometimes, my, how clever they are mentally in a great many things that pertain to this life. And yet, dear friends, when you talk to them about spiritual matters, how dark they are. Why? Their consciences have never been reached. And so, friends, the aim of the Lord Jesus next was to give her a word that reached her conscience. Did you notice how abruptly he turns from speaking to her of living water to saying to her, go, call thy husband. What are we doing? Arousing her conscience. Bringing to bear upon that soul that awful guilt. And he did it in a way that she could have hid her sin. But he that covereth his sin shall not prosper. And so the woman spoke out the truth, I have no husband. And the Lord Jesus revealed to her that he knew all about her and all her life. Thou hast had five, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidst thou truly. And so her conscience was reached. Her guilt was confessed before him. And then, the next word was bringing about humility of heart. You notice as the woman is seen in the conversation with the Lord Jesus, how she gained an acquaintance of the Lord Jesus, I'm sure this has been pointed out many, many times. First of all, she only saw a Jew in him. And then she said, "Sir." And then when he told her about her sin, she said, "I perceive thou art a prophet." And then she speaks of the Messiah. And she went away confessing, "Thou art, is not this the Christ?" But notice, in acknowledging him as a prophet, she has a religious question. And her question was, "Our fathers worshipped in this mountain. And he say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship." A conscience had been reached, and how often it is that men and women try to cover up their sin by religious questions. But the Lord Jesus dealt with her in a very wise way and brought her down humbly before him. For he said to her, "Salvation is of the Jews." She was priding herself in being a Samaritan and thinking that their religion was better than the Jews' religion. But the only religion given by God was the Jews' religion, dear friends. And it was God's religion until the cross. Indeed it was. And the Lord Jesus acknowledges it here. Salvation is of the Jews. And so that was very humbling. But then, as if she would dismiss the whole thing, "Well, you can say what you like, but you know, when Messiah comes, he'll tell us all things." You know, I think that's a marvelous confession on the part of that dear woman. "When Messiah cometh, he will tell us all things." Wasn't that something for a poor, degraded Samaritan woman to say of Messiah? What high thoughts she had of him. "He'll tell us all things." Acknowledging that the Messiah would be the omniscient one. And then the Lord Jesus revealed himself to her and said, "I that speak unto thee am he." And at once she believed. And I believe that that very moment, dear friends, salvation took place in her soul. She believed his word that he was the very one that was to come that would tell us all things. And what did she do? Why, thank God, she went away into the city. He revealed himself as the Messiah to her. She had many questions to ask before this, but now her questionings were over. She was satisfied with him. And so we have the proof of her salvation in the fact that she went into the city to tell the men of all things that he had told her concerning herself, and acknowledged, "Is not this the Christ? Is not this the Christ?" A dear Welshman said one time that the woman of Samaria left her water pot and ran away with a well. Ran away with a well. And so she was satisfied, proof that she really was saved. She had a well of water springing up in her heart to eternal life. And then, friends, our witness to those dear Samaritans was blessed, for they came and heard the Lord Jesus for themselves, and they believed. And then the Lord Jesus was satisfied, for he had had meat to eat the disciples knew nothing of, and that was to satisfy a dear soul who was indeed thirsty, thirsty, thirsty. How true it is that now none but Christ can satisfy. And I hope, dear friend, that tonight you will indeed be satisfied. I don't know whether I've told this before, but there's a little story coming to my mind, a little incident that happened down in Cincinnati when dear Arthur and I were laboring down in Cincinnati some years ago. I've been around one day, and I tell you, it can get awfully hot in Cincinnati in the summer. What is is the word?
Humid.
Oh, dear. Those hot days down there. There'd be a tremendous shower, perhaps, and then after that, the humidity was tremendous. I've been giving out some tracts. I was awful tired. And I went to a little park down there in the center of Norwood. I sat on a seat there, and an old man came up to me and he said to me, "Say," he said, "you know, I was down in the city today and I found a place where you could get very, very good whiskey, very, very cheap." I said, "Man, I'm not interested." I said, "I had a drink of living water a few years ago, and since that time I've never been thirsty, and I never will thirst again." He looked at me and he says, "My," he says, "you're lucky." Yes, friends, I'm lucky. Oh, may you trust the Lord Jesus. And may you know what it is to have this life-giving water that can quench your thirst now and for all eternity.